All right, let's come to God's word this morning. You know, there was a time many years ago where people said, Jesus is coming soon. Have you heard that? Yeah, Jesus is coming soon. I know I met a man and he said, listen, he stored a lot of canned stuff and he said, look, Jesus is coming. And there were other people who left their jobs and, you know, just stayed at home and said, Jesus is coming. And that was a scene. And then every so often you have somebody who says, you know, on September 1st, 19th, Jesus is coming. Have you heard those kind of prophecies? You know, they keep saying that. And then the day comes and they say, oh no, at least 3 weeks later. Or it gets postponed. And so people are very intrigued with the thing about Jesus' return. And we need to go back to God's word and say, what does God's word say about Jesus' second coming? And what is our response to that? Okay? So, just a couple of things to clarify. If you turn to Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus speaks several times about his coming. You know, and his disciples had even asked him, Lord, when are you coming? When are you going to restore the kingdom? And in response to that, Jesus answers in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. He says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. He says, for as in those days before, for as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. All right. So two things we can get from this. Number one is Jesus is coming again. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again. Okay. He is returning. He's not left. He's coming again. Number two is this, we don't know the day or the hour when he will come. And so we are not called to speculate and say he's coming next month or week after that or tonight or whatever. It could be any day. We don't know the day. So let's not put a day on that. All right? Now, the other extreme is we say, well, we don't know when he's coming. He's coming, you know. So does it matter how we live? Absolutely matters how we live. We look at that this morning. But just to give you a couple of scriptures about how people viewed the coming of Jesus. Look at what Paul felt in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. This is what he said. He says in verse 21, Philippians 1, 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. That would be far better. So Paul is talking about when he would be united with Jesus, right? He's saying, you know, to be on earth is good, but to be with Jesus is much, much better. He said, I would rather depart and be with him. But for your sake, I'm staying here on earth. So if Jesus doesn't come soon, we will all one day join him one by one. Isn't that so? That's what Paul is talking about. And Paul is saying to be with Jesus is gain. It is far better than anything on this earth. All right? So keep that in mind. To be with Jesus is far better than anything on this earth. So that's the second thing. But then in the interim between now, whatever the date is today, and Jesus' return, or till we go to be with Jesus, the question is, how shall we live? And that's what the word is this morning. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you are coming soon, Lord. Thank you that to be with you is great gain. Lord, but would you speak to us through your word this morning that we would understand that in the interim, how shall we live? Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are in Matthew chapter 24, Can you flip the chapter to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, and that's where we will look at this. That's what we will look at this morning. Okay. So, this is all in the context of Jesus, the disciples asking Jesus, Jesus, what about your coming? What's going to happen? And so forth. And Jesus tells them, you know, nobody knows the day and the hour. And then he tells them a couple of parables. In Matthew 25, verse 1, he starts by saying, then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. And he tells them the parable of the 10 virgins. And then he goes on and he tells them another parable of the talents. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey. What does the it refer to? It refers to the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Okay, he's talking about the context of his coming back. That's what he's talking about. So he said, it will be like a man going on a journey. Okay, and this man went on a journey and he called his servants and he entrusted to them his property. So this man was going on a long journey, entrusted them to his property, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. Okay, we're going to look at that first. Now, what do they mean by talents there? Okay, the word talent there means a weight, a measure. And it roughly refers to a weight of, you know, different commentators have different understandings. Some say it's worth 33 kilos. So if it was gold, imagine being given 33 kilos of gold worth of stuff. So really, the man going on a journey gave his servants a huge sum of money. Some commentators have said that 1 talent was equal to a laborer's wages, 20 years' wages. Just multiply your salary, you know, into 20 years' wages. That's a lot of money, all right? So one was given 5 talents. That's 100 years' wages. Another was given 2 talents, okay? 40 years' wages. And another one was given 1 talent, 20 years' wages. So basically, it was a lot of money. And we see how the master gave it. He gave it to him, each according to his ability. So it wasn't, okay, everybody's getting something equal here, but the master knew the capacity and the capability of each servant, and he gave him talents according to their abilities. And then he went away. And what's implied in here is that he's going to come back after some time, and he expects the servants to work with those talents and multiply them. That's what he expects the servants to do. And so let's continue and see what happens. The first servant in Matthew 25, this is what it is. Okay, he who had received the 5 talents, who received the most, he went, he at once, it says there, and traded with them and he made 5 more. Okay, so we see what the servant did. He got this huge sum of money. Now think about it. Imagine 1 talent is worth 1 crore, 2 is 2 crores, and 5 is 5 crores. Okay? Imagine if you've been given 5 crores of rupees. What will you do with it? This is what the guy did. He says, at once he went, he worked with it, and he multiplied it, and from 5 he made it 10. Wow! All right. The second one did the same thing. Okay? Verse 17, so also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. So these two workers were very diligent. Now you had the third guy. But he who had received the 1 talent, what did he do? He went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Okay? So we have different responses to the talents that were entrusted, the money that was entrusted to these servants. 2 of them took it. They were not lazy. Very quickly they invested it. They doubled it. The one guy, you know, to his credit, he didn't blow it up on wine, women, and song. But he went to his garden. He dug a hole. He put it there and he said, I'll just keep it safe till my master's return.
Okay, now let's see what happens. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of these servants came back and settled accounts with them.
So the master comes back. We don't know how long, but he says, okay, I'm back. Let me take an account of what you've done with what I have entrusted to you.
And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.
Wow. What did the master say?
He says, well done, good and faithful servant. This is amazing. So first of all, he commends the servant. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. He's commending the character of the servant. Because he multiplied it, it showed that the servant was faithful. And he says, well done, commendation. And he says, you have been, now this is an understatement. You have been faithful over a little. Okay? How much was he given? 5 talents. 5 crores. Is that a little or a lot? Anybody put 5 crores in the offering today? It's a lot of money. All right? It's a lot of money. And the master says, hey, you've been faithful with a little. And he says, enter, I will set you over much. Wow. Amazing. All right? So if 5 crores is little, much will be much, much more. In a similar parable, in the Gospel of Luke, where it talks about minas, where the people who multiplied their investment, you know what they were given? They were given cities. Wow. One guy was faithful with 1 mina. He made 10 more. The master says, you rule over 10 cities. Amazing, isn't it? So the reward is far more than what the person labored with. That shows the graciousness of the master. Okay. The same thing happened with a servant with 2 talents. Okay. And he who also had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, same words, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Same words. Commendation. Well done. Commendation of character. Good and faithful servant. And reward. You have been faithful with little. Only 2 crores. I will give you much more. Come and enter the joy of your master. Rejoicing. And then we have the person who had just 1 talent. What did he do? He says, he would receive the 1 talent, verse 25, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You know that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we see, how did the master respond to the person with the 1 talent who did nothing with it? Did he say, it's okay, this guy made 10, this guy made 5, it's okay? No. He was reprimanded. Okay, he called him, he says, you wicked and lazy servant. Okay, spoke about his character. He says, you're lazy. You're wicked. This is what you did. You know, actually, this is what you didn't do. You didn't do anything. He says, couldn't you have at least taken it to the bank and put it in there so I'd get 2% or 1% or whatever the interest rate is? You know, at least I would have earned something. And there was punishment and he was cast out. And his talent was taken and given to the guy who had 10. And people would say, wow, he's got 10. Now he's got 11.
And Jesus said, to him who has, more will be given. To him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So let's see how we can apply that parable to our lives. First of all, who is telling us this parable? Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. What is the context of the parable? He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what it is going to be like when I come back at my second coming. Okay? Now, really, in this parable, Jesus is the master. All right? The servants are people who've been entrusted with, we look at what talents are. Okay? So what are the talents? Now, the talents are anything that has been given to us that we can use for the furtherance of God's kingdom. So the talents can be, first of all, they can be spiritual gifts. What are the gifts of the Spirit? There's prophecy, evangelism, giving, leading, helping, tongues, all kinds of gifts. There are so, administration, you know, there are all the different gifts. And Corinthians tells us that the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts according as He chooses. We don't decide, He gives it to Him. Same thing here. Talents were given according to the Master's understanding of each person. All right? So we've been given spiritual gifts. Also, talents are not just spiritual gifts, but skills and abilities. Think about it. What skills do you have? What abilities do you have? Maybe you can sing. Maybe you're good at art. Maybe you can play a musical instrument. Maybe you can speak. Maybe you can, you know, you're handy with your hands. Okay, or whatever skills and abilities you have. Think about it. Who did you get them from? Jesus. Jesus has given you. Maybe you have a sharp mind, or you have a strong body, or something. Everything comes under talents, skills, and abilities. All right? Thirdly, talents is time given to us. Yeah? We don't know how much time we have, but time and opportunity have been given to each one of us. So we have different opportunities, and it's important how we respond to those opportunities, what we do with them. So it's spiritual gifts, it's skills and abilities, it's time and opportunities, and it's assets. Okay? It's money in the bank, it's a house, it's a car, it's a scooter, it's anything and everything we own. These are all given to us by our Father in heaven. So really, we've been given a lot. And what Jesus is saying is, while we are here on earth now, we've got to take all these things, spiritual gifts, abilities, skills, time, opportunities, assets, and we have to do something with that. We have to multiply it. Turn to your neighbor and say, multiply it. All right? So God wants you to increase what you have. And what He's saying is, when you multiply it, okay, He is going to reward you when He comes here. That's what He's going to do. The reason He's given you these things, He's saying, I want you to just be faithful with this little. And if you are faithful with that, I will give you unimaginable stuff. All right? So I'll give you much. And Jesus is coming. He's coming. You know, as my friend Ranjit says, you know, when Jesus comes, what do you want Him to say to you? You want Him to say to you, well done. You don't want Him to say, well. There's nothing after that. Well, what did you do with it? No, you want Him to say, well done. And so Jesus gives us this parable to motivate us to godly, productive living. Okay? Because we can take those talents that we have, and we can bury them in the ground and do nothing with them. And we think, that's okay. I'm not doing any harm. I'm not killing anybody. I'm not robbing anybody. I'm not doing anything. But I've just dug a hole and put those talents in the ground. And Jesus says, there is no neutral in the kingdom. Remember, Jesus said, he who does not gather with me scatters. So in the kingdom, there's no neutral gear. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Okay? And so the two servants, we've got to learn from them. They took their talents, and it says at once. They traded with them, put them to work, and multiplied them. Wow. And the master was very pleased with them. Let's look at the unfaithful servant. What did he do? Okay. Verse 24. He who had received the one talent came forward. Now think of the unfaithful servant. What did he say? He says, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I hid your talent in the ground. That one talent servant had a wrong understanding of the master. Yeah? Was the master a hard man? No. He was generous. He says, here, I'm giving you 5 crores. I'm giving you 2 crores. I'm giving you 1 crore. You invest it. All right? And when you profit with it, I'm going to reward you. That was what was implied. But this man said, no, he's a hard man. Okay, this is what he said. And he said, you take where you've not sown, you know, and that's what he accused him of, being a thief. And then he says, and he was not only, so he had a wrong understanding of the master. Think of the master. He was generous and gracious. He rewarded these people amazingly. Okay? So the person with the one talent had a wrong understanding of the master. In the same way, we can have a wrong understanding of God. You know, many people think salvation is my ticket to heaven. And that's it. Okay, I'm going to heaven. I'm just waiting for my bus to come. While the bus comes, I'll do everything else that I want to do. But that's not what it is. Okay, salvation is a ticket to heaven, but more than that, it's an opportunity to put our talents to work so that we can bring glory to God and that Jesus can reward us. So I want to ask you this morning, just think for a minute and say, what are the talents, the skills, the spiritual gifts, the assets, the opportunities God has given you? All right, think about it. I mean, you will find plenty, plenty, plenty. Jesus is coming. I don't know when he's coming. He may come back tonight. He may come back tomorrow. Okay, the question is, have you multiplied it? Have you done something with it? And so my exhortation to you this morning is, recognize your talents and now do something with it, because Jesus wants to reward you. He is coming. One of my favorite verses, Revelation 22:12. Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to give to each person according to what he has done. Okay? And so that is what God is expecting of us. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul writes about the second coming. And he says this. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And so Paul's saying, hey, we've got to keep in mind that although we are living on earth, Jesus is coming. We are waiting for his coming. You know, all our troubles will be forever, forever and ever gone. But we need to keep that in focus. Okay, we need to say, yes, Jesus is coming. He's going to do all these things. But while we are waiting here, while we are waiting here for Jesus' coming, okay, we need to work for the kingdom. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 onwards says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." This morning, are you zealous to do good works? Or are you happy to just leave things as they are? Okay? Zealous. Like the two workers. At once they went forward and said, "What can we do?" Zealous to do good works. That's the kind of people Jesus is looking for. In Matthew chapter 7, he talks about another parable about two builders building on sand, building on rock. And he said, the ones who built on rock are the ones who obeyed the teachings of Christ. All right? In Matthew 7, again, he talks about the professors and the possessors. You know where they are? The professors and the possessors. Both professed they know Jesus. But Jesus says to one lot, "Depart from me, I never knew you." He says, not everybody who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only who does the will of my Father in heaven. You know? And so there are people who can profess they are Christians and followers of Jesus, and there are people who truly possess Jesus in their lives. And one of the ways we can confirm that we are truly possessors of eternal life is when there is the evidence of works of faith in our lives. Okay? James says, "You show me your works, I'll show you your faith," and the other way around. Okay? So this morning, I want to encourage us as we end. God wants to reward you. That's how you should get out of here this morning. Saying, God wants to bless me much beyond what I have today in this life and in the life to come. Great. But before he can do that, he wants me to do something. Turn to somebody and say, "Do something." Okay, and he's coming soon. And you know, it's like this. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe in school, where the teacher said, "Listen, I want you all to finish this homework. Those who finish it will be rewarded. You know, maybe you get a free period. Those who don't finish the homework, you're going to be punished." All right? Now, imagine you're a student who has done the homework. And the teacher comes to class. What's your attitude? Yeah. Are you confident? Yes. Now the teacher goes on doing the lesson and she forgets to ask about the homework. What do you do? Miss. Remember the homework. All right? All right, listen. Jesus is not going to forget. He's coming back. He's going to take an account. But we, you know, because we've done our homework, we're not ashamed at the teacher asking. All right? But then there are those who've not done the homework. And what are they doing? They're keeping a low profile. You know, don't mention the word home and work. Talk about everything else. Miss, what about this and that? And you know, they're trying to distract the teacher so that they're just waiting for the bell to ring. Okay, I see some people laughing very loudly. All right, because they know they don't want the teacher to bring up homework because they know the moment the teacher brings that up, they are going to be punished. And so if we are working for the kingdom, no, we can say, "Jesus, come, Lord Jesus." That was the prayer of the early Christians. They said, "Jesus, come, we're waiting for you." You know, because they were not going to be ashamed at his coming. But if we don't work, then we're going to be ashamed at his coming. Let's pray this morning. Come. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have blessed us with talents, with abilities, with spiritual gifts, opportunities, skills, assets, finances, time, everything you've given us for the sake of your kingdom. Lord, I pray that we would be like those two servants who worked hard and multiplied what you had given them and received rich commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray that we would multiply what we have individually and as a church. Lord, your Holy Spirit would work in us and through us. Oh, Lord, help us to shine like lights in this world, that people would see our good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord. It's your grace that enables us to do all this. Help us to live faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.